Hey everybody, Ferrand Wozniak, your host of the IASIS podcast. I'm here with the chairman of the board. I said this maybe a year and a half ago. No, it's the new chairman of the board, Felicia Carey. Felicia, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Woz. How are you?
I'm doing well. Cold snap here in South Carolina. I've said it a few times, but I am from Western New York, which I say on every podcast. So it was good. 29 degrees this morning, but luckily I had the clothes for it. So I was still able to go for my morning walk, did some yard work, had to clean up the leaves, you know, the final fall, summer cleanup. But it's good. I understand you guys in Pennsylvania probably are suffering a little bit of the same.
Yep. It was a little chilly this morning, a bit brisk, if you will. But, you know, it's nothing bad. Nothing we're not used to up here.
That's right. I think they say your blood thins out when you move to the South. I've now lived in the South longer than I've lived in New York. But it's still nice to break out the fashion, I guess you could say, or just all the gear. I got a closet full of clothes, and it's good to use them three times a year. So
yeah, for the four times it drops below freezing. It's fair.
Yeah, that's accurate for, yeah. So, Pennsylvania, you said you're in Pennsylvania. Where about in Pennsylvania?
Oh, about 20 minutes south of Harrisburg, so the central part of the state.
Awesome. My brother, my niece, her husband, and my grandniece, I guess you could say, is that a great niece? I don't know. We got to look at that to see what the actual nomenclature for that proper term is. They live right in that area, too.
Nice. Small world.
It is a very, very, very small world, and we'll get into that a little bit later in a different realm of the small worldness. You live in Pennsylvania, however, you work in Maryland, correct?
That is correct.
How does that happen? I know Maryland. I know Maryland has a lot of creeks and crevices and fingers going on with that. So how does that work? Explain to our viewers, our listeners.
Well, we have these cool things called highways that can help me get that. No, I'm kidding. When I first got out of college, I got a job with, it was actually a neighboring county than where I'm at now. And long story short, I ended up with Baltimore County, where I've been for the last 7 years, I think. So we're the part that surrounds the city, but we actually don't do Baltimore City at all. So that kind of helps. It's bless the people that are there. That city's nuts.
So the pharmacies are still standing in the county, not so much the city, based on what's happened, at least from the Netflix documentaries I have seen.
Yes. Haven't seen a lot of the Netflix ones yet, but if you've seen The Wire,
that
was Baltimore City homicide, and it is very accurate for what was going on in like the 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
In fact, my old lieutenant he was Sergeant Landsman in City Homicide during that time. But he had actually retired from the city and came up to the county, and when I first started at Baltimore County, he was my lieutenant.
Wow. So, so that's Baltimore County that you work for, and you guys have a digital forensics lab there, correct?
We do.
How's that working out for you? How many people are in that lab?
So we have, in our digital multimedia evidence unit, we call ourselves DMEU, we have a supervisor and three examiners. One of the examiners is not quite authorized to do casework yet because we are an accredited lab, so he's got a lot more hoops to jump through. But he's just so close to being casework authorized, which is awesome because our backlog is crazy and we need all the hands we can get to help dig out from the casework.
I understand that. We have probably our full capacity is maybe 10 to 12 people. Normally, we're all cops, but they just started in my lab, just started doing the, it's not really civilian, it's like quasi-civilian, you're called a criminalist. So we're on, we're, I think the kids call it today onboarding. That's what corporations mm-hmm. call it. So we're onboarding currently four new people to the lab.
Wow.
But I understand your when you talk about so close to actually being worked, being able to work cases by themselves, because I have a strong suspicion you are ANAB certified like my lab is, correct?
Yep, 17025. That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, so there is paperwork, and that paperwork is for a reason. All those, I want to call them restrictions. Guidelines are there for a reason. That's to protect everybody in court going down yes. the line, and the integrity of the lab going down the line. So that
yes.
that is very important. Even though you know it sometimes can be frustrating. It's it needs to happen. It protects everybody from themselves later on down the
yes.
line.
It's an administrative nightmare, but it is useful when it, you know, we can use it to our advantage.
In the long run, it's to your advantage. In the long yeah. run, it's totally to your advantage. So you live, you live in Harrisburg, you work in Baltimore, you know, we'll give it 20 miles either way on each end.
Yep.
And then where else were you? You were in Hartford County, Maryland
Hartford.
As well, right?
Yeah, Harford County.
Gotcha.
Not like Connecticut.
Yeah, gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I was there for about 7 years, with a break in the middle where I started working for a 3-letter federal agency. Worked for the FBI for about a year out of the Baltimore field office, but Harford County kept calling and say, "Hey, you left some really big shoes to fill. And when you say to the major, are you insinuating I have big feet, sir? You get your old job back."
Understood. Good. And then you had with Harford County, right?
Yes.
When we talked about documentaries, I believe, Harford County is, and this is all based on Netflix, was mm-hmm. the catalyst for the big, I think Baltimore City takedown that they made TV shows out of. Is that's
yeah.
almost true to life or true to life?
I can't remember if it was Narcos or it was something to do with narcotics. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah. Yep. Yeah. Harford County is kind of one of those sleeper counties, and they've got a really good sheriff right now. So the agency's doing really well, but actually they just had a whole thing with the Chris Hansen and child predator stuff. So their forensic lab's doing really good too.
Chris Hansen's still doing his thing?
That's what I said.
I thought, yeah. Don't go to anybody's house if they invite you over for pizza, because you might
right?
get a surprise guest. Yeah,
right?
be diligent with your pizza dates, I guess. So I didn't know
cookies and milk aren't necessarily cookies and milk.
yeah, that was a thing. That was very entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, obviously being doing ICAC investigations, sometimes mm-hmm. they're a little loosey goosey on their methods, but it was still entertaining to watch when, you know, the guys were chasing cats around and bringing, you know, all the toys or whatever, the,
yep.
the pizzas and then Chris Hansen pops out. Very entertaining at best. So, oh no,
yes.
at worst is entertaining. It's great TV. So, sorry, we got your history down. Did you go to school for digital forensics? Like myself, I was a legal studies major, and I just kind of had on-the-job training for over two decades that got me to a knowledge base where I'm even remotely competent to talk to you. But did you go to school for this?
It was a long road, but I eventually got there. So I started my college tour, I guess, if you will, in the early 2000s with a degree, going for a degree in mathematics. Don't let that fool you. My math is terrible. All I know is that C equals commencement, D equals diploma. That's the math that I remember.
Yeah.
But I went to Bloomsburg University in central Pennsylvania. We're kind of the rest stop between Penn State and the Poconos.
Okay.
And when I was there getting the Bachelor of Science in math, I tried to tack on secondary education because Bloomsburg is a teacher's college. But they had, they were changing all of their GPA requirements at the time. So I was sort of chasing the cutoff as I was getting penciled into the program. And long story short, it didn't quite pan out. I'm glad it didn't. Although I love to teach, I don't know if I could teach high school math. And bless the people out there that do. I don't know if I quite have the patience for it anymore. But as I was finishing up my math degree, part of the requirement was a 400 level special topics class that changed every semester. The topic of it changed every semester. And I waited for one of the professors that I really enjoyed his classes until he was teaching one. And when he finally did it, it fit into my schedule, and it was Intro to Computer Forensics. And we're playing with Windows 98 and floppy disks in the basement of the oldest building on campus with computers that they found in a closet and F-disk. I started my journey with F-disk.
Oh my goodness.
And so I graduated with the Bachelor of Science in Math, and I bumped into my professor about 6 months later, and he goes, "Hey, we've got the program accredited for computer forensics. Do you want to, you should come back and get the degree." And I was like, okay, because working for a bank at the time was not really what I wanted to do.
Sure.
So I went back, I got my second degree, a second bachelor's degree in computer forensics from Bloomsburg.
Awesome.
Ended up being one of the first five graduates with the degree, so that was pretty cool.
Well, and what year was that that you graduated?
That was 2008. My math degree was 05.
Okay, math degree was 05. Computer forensics and or digital forensics, whichever you want to call it, in that
08.
Year. 08. Yep. So then I met you at the National Computer Forensics Institute, obviously the Secret Service empire they have there down in Hoover, Alabama.
That's right.
For their NITRO class, their Network Intrusion Investigation class in 2012.
Yes.
Correct? Right.
I was working for Harford County then.
Harford County in 2012. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was still with the agency I'm with. And that was a great class. That was 3 weeks in.
Yes.
What time of year was that? It was summertime. Was it
summer?
Like May? No, it was May. Maybe May or June. I don't know, but I remember it was warm.
Maybe August.
It could have been August. It was hot. It was hot.
Yes.
But that was a great class, and a lot of heavy hitters came out of that class. Yourself, yeah. Matt Geckel with Celebrite. There's a few others. I don't know if they want me mentioning their names, but that was a heavy hitting class, and. Nobody knew it at the time. Were all, for myself, that was my first time at NCFI. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is law enforcement training. Like this is, you felt like you were on a movie or TV set for like NCSI or whatever you want to call those,
state of the art facility. It was
incredible.
Amazing.
Incredible. All, the coffee machines, the high ceilings with all great class,
yeah.
especially that one, all the heavy hitters that came out of that particular class. That was good. And then, so just a quick, personal history. So then, so we had class in 2012, and then I think in 2014, you were taking advanced computer forensics, and I was taking, not BCFE, B-Cert at NCFI.
The 5-6 week class,
And your class and my class overlap, but we shared the same hotel. So we reconnected in 2014. Mm-hmm. You were there for 3 weeks, I was there for five. And that was the class that was in May. We had the tornado warnings where we had to go
into the
bowels of the hotel during the tornadoes.
That was a to-do. I've never experienced that.
I've never seen thunderstorms like I've seen in Hoover, Alabama. They got some electricity in that town because that stuff was crazy.
You haven't lived till you've seen the sky turn green, buddy. That's terrifying.
I've seen it. Luckily, I've never had to experience anything other than looking at it. But those thunderstorms in Hoover, Alabama. That was 2014. So you skip ahead in our history, and I believe it was you and I talked through social media. We had our phones and stuff like that, but it was all just pleasantries, happy birthday notifications, and things like that. And then you And we'll get to your little history. Well, I wouldn't say your little history of IASIS, but we'll get to your history of IASIS. You messaged me out of the blue, I believe, in 2021. It was post-COVID, right?
Yes.
And you said, "Hey, do you know anything about Android forensics?"
Ah, first I said, "Do you want a free trip to Orlando?"
Oh, all right, fine. Yes. You did say that. You
I'm
want
sorry. All expenses paid trip to Orlando, because
to.
staff members, when you travel for a staff event, it's covered by IASIS. So I said, "Would you like an all expenses paid trip to Orlando?"
Yes, all right, that's fine. That's fair. That's actually the truth of what happened. But then it was immediately followed up with, "What do you know about Android forensics?" So that was exactly the follow-up question. And I pretty much, I think I did the emoji of, "Yeah, I mean, I know Android forensics." And then your follow-up question was, "Do you think you could teach a whole day on it?" And I was like, "Teach a whole day on it?" And yeah, and then here I am. You know, 4 years later, the host of the podcast for IASIS. So, yeah, that was a whimsical time learning. I learned a lot about Android forensics because I was like, "Oh, good, you guys got a lesson plan." So I can just go ahead and just do your lesson plan. They're like, "Oh no, you have to come up with a lesson plan." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so I started my hardcore learning journey on Android forensics. Which was, you know, I would call it scary, but it was very beneficial in professional and personal growth for that. So we taught you and I amongst other people taught mobile forensics for 2 years. But your journey with IASIS started way before mine.
Yes.
I joined in, I guess we could say 2021. But your history of IASIS started way before then. I know you'd always mention it.
Yeah.
You're not always mention it. It's not like you consumed parties and stuff like that with the talk of it. But people are aware that you were a member of IASIS. So can you expand a little bit on your start to how you got to chairman of the board?
Of course. So I've actually been a member since 2009. The listserv had been a huge help for me over the years. When I was with Harford County, I was a department of one. I was running the show, and all the cases came to me, and I was a fresh pup right out the gate trying to figure out what to do. Thankfully, it was early enough in the digital forensics world that it wasn't quite as intense as the caseloads can be like it is today. But still being a department of one and not having anyone to turn around and go, "Hey, what am I looking at?"
Right.
I needed help and guidance. So a friend of mine had said, "Hey, what do you know about IASIS?" I said, "What?" And they told me about it. I was like, "Oh, cool. You know, they have this listserv and it's hugely beneficial and it's so helpful. And you just fire off a question through the email and someone's awake somewhere in the world that can respond to
That's
it and help
true.
you." Well, that's amazing. So I've been a member since 09. But I finally talked my police department into sending me to the BCFE in 2015. So it was a couple of years later that I finally went through BCFE, got my CFCE in 2015. And then I was on staff. So I was, I don't think I mentioned it yet, but I also lived and worked in New Zealand for a year and a half, working for the New Zealand police.
That's right. I forgot about your New Zealand tenure. That's right.
Yeah, I spent a year and a half there. And when I was there, I got on staff and I was teaching XFAT in BCFE for, what did I do that? 16 and 17? Yeah, I taught 16 and 17. And then family reasons, I'd come home in end of 2017, ended up taking 2018 off, and then came back and took mobile class in 2019. And then I was on the mobile staff from 2019 after I got my mobile cert. It was helping to teach the class. When we had COVID, kind of shut everything down, and we sort of revamped the class from there. And then it was 21 when we brought you on and we were teaching. Was it 21? Yeah, it was 21.
Yep, and 21.
Then, and then 22, I stopped teaching and then applied for the board.
So when you applied for the board, or you applied, mm-hmm. you were elected to the,
yes.
to the board.
Yeah, it's
right, right. Yeah.
Improper phrasing on my part, and I'm going to beat myself for that later.
That's fine. No, that's fine. This is,
I self-nominated for an open position on the board when the call came out at the beginning of the year, beginning of 23.
So in beginning of 23, and you were elected mm-hmm. to the board, and then but your first job on the board was not chairman of the board. You
Correct.
Were over. I know we have, and you could talk about the different disciplines or the different areas mm-hmm. of the board, because you're more equipped for that than, you know, I'm in the basement. You guys are up. I'm eating the frozen already cooked shrimp, where you have, you know, your stuff is still has the tails on, and you know, it's the prawn.
Nonsense.
The prawns. You guys are eating the big stuff. So what was your first job on the board?
I was director of standards.
Okay.
So my job was to make sure that, so the BCFE, actually the CFCE, excuse me, our certification is accredited through the Forensic Science Accreditation Board, the FSAB, and similar to the ANAB 17025 standards that you and I have in our labs,
yes,
we have a very yes. modified version that we follow for the CFCE that basically says all students who take the test are presented of equal and fair opportunity. So if person A has a particular set of questions, person B has to have a similar particular set of questions. One can't be treated differently than the other. Everyone has to have the same experience. So it's my job to, when I was with standards, make sure everything works for the accreditation stuff. I also oversaw quality assurance. So all of our white papers will get written by the developers and the people who teach the classes, and then they get sent to quality assurance for grammar check and technical review, stuff like that, to make sure everything is looking good. And then I also oversaw competencies. So if you look at our website and you look at any of our classes, you're going to see a list of core competencies that are going to be covered in each class. So for BCFE, one of the things they're going to talk about is the NTFS file system. And these are the things that you're going to learn in the NTFS file system. And whatever topics that they want to hit, they put it on the competency, and then that's what gets taught. And then for the classes that have certifications like BCFE, Advanced Windows, and Mobile, the tests are all built off of the core competencies.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned the white papers.
Yes.
And luckily, well, I don't know how much luckily I could say, but at least when I was writing the manual, I guess you could say, for Android forensics mm-hmm. back in my day, ChatGPT and AI didn't really exist on a normal platform.
Right.
So, and I would, you know, you'd beat the ground, write the manual, hope for the best. Of course, you had to do research. It was like writing a college paper. You had to,
yep.
you know, cite your sources, everything along those lines. But it was a little grueling waiting for it, you know, because you guys still run it through systems for, you know, mm-hmm. for plagiarism
yes.
and authentic work. So that was a tense moment. And then when I got cleared of it, I knew I wasn't doing anything nefarious, because I knew the high
yeah.
standards of this. But I was like, oh my goodness, and like, is it? And then they're like, no, you're good. It passed. And I was like, whew. You know, I haven't wrote a paper since college, and I graduated a little bit before
yeah.
you did from college. So, it was been a while, but you never forget how to ride a bicycle.
I guess you never
forget how to cite sources, I guess. But it was all pre-AI. So at least I was, brick and mortar, you know, sweat
yeah.
equity type thing.
That's right.
So, And ISIS does take that very seriously, and I'm glad they do.
We do.
It's all about integrity. You know, we,
mm-hmm.
we talked about that with ANAB. So it
yeah.
protects you further down the line. You get a better product, with it overall.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain in the butt day to day, but the overall betterment of the association and the individual members and everybody involved is so much better. So awesome. So then, all right, you're the director of standards, and then next thing I know, I get an email and you are the chairman of the board. So
that's right.
So that's, and here we have top dog. Here we are from NCFI Hoover, Alabama, 2012 to you being the chairman of the board. So
yeah.
Awesome. That's crazy
how that works.
Oh, glass ceilings. And I got to say, talking about glass ceilings, you are the first female chairman of the board for IASIS, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Yep. That's very humbling.
Awesome.
Very cool.
I, we talked about Netflix documentaries and shows earlier. I can't wait for your Netflix show to come out. You know, cyberglass ceilings. I could come up with some titles if you gave me a little bit more time. But yeah, the Felicia Carey story. So that would be. Well, it's still we still have three more episodes to film before we get air it, I think so.
Fair. I'm sure we could come up with something entertaining.
No. The life will take care of that itself. Yeah, don't worry. Yep. But awesome. First female chairman of the board. That is great. Congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
So with that, you're the chairman of the board. I would call it the top dog, the seer of all things, I would say the chairman of the board, because you are the chairman of the board. IASIS just had a great event in Budapest, Hungary, correct?
We did.
How was that?
Oh, absolutely amazing. So we held our fall board meeting just ahead of the Budapest event. Some of the board members are instructors, so it made sense, instead of having to have them travel multiple times this year, we said, all right, why don't we just bring the full board or whoever could attend to Budapest, do the meeting a couple days before the training event started. And just having a couple of minutes to run around the city, it was a beautiful city. The meeting was, we knocked out a lot of agenda items. We were very productive. And it kicked off the event beautifully. I mean, it was really good for us. It was our first IASIS hosted event in Europe. We have taught in Europe before, but we were sort of contractors. So this was our first big European event, which was super exciting for us. It was really good.
2 weeks in Budapest, you mentioned the board was going out there. I wish I knew somebody in a position of power that could maybe get us out there for a podcast, or, the marketing team. You know, we could do wonders in these foreign cities. So
I believe so. Yeah.
So if you know anybody,
we'll have a chat.
Yeah. If you know anybody on the board,
I'll see if I can talk to some board people and see what I can come up with.
All right, good. That'd be great. Kyle and I both have our passports, so we're free. And I don't think we're on any fly lists. I can't speak for Kyle, but I know I'm not.
So, well, that wild one, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Gotta watch out for him. Class...
Yeah, right?
That was Budapest, but now we have Reno, yes. Nevada. Don't call it Nevada, because they get mad at that. But, it's just like Oregon and Oregon.
Or so Lancaster and Lancaster.
So, Reno, Nevada is coming up in January, if I do believe, correct?
Yes, the 12th through the 16th of January in 2026.
And that is a one-week event?
Correct. All of a handful of our specialized classes will be offered that week.
Specialized. So, yes. I do believe, is mobile happening there?
Yes, mobile is happening, as well as advanced mobile.
And as well as advanced mobile. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yep.
And then there's one more or two more, and you got to forgive me.
few more, actually. We're having a total of 9 classes running.
9 classes. See, that shows how much I know.
That's right.
So, do you have the rundown of the list of classes that are happening? Beautiful.
I do. We have our forensic scripting class, managing a digital forensic lab. So not just for examiners, but for managers as well. And preparing for lab accreditation, which kind of speaks for itself.
Right.
Very useful when trying to get yourself accredited.
Yes.
And then the RAM capture class.
That's almost every class. That's almost every specialized class we have.
Just about. Yeah. We have a couple more
that
we'll be offering, that will be coming with us to Orlando in the spring. But yeah, that's a majority of our specialized classes are going for that 1 week. Bringing our show to the West Coast of the US.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that is January, what'd you say? The 12th
through the 16th.
12th through the 16th. Yes. And that
there's seats still available. There's time still to book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get on a wait list, if you will. That's one of the best things, is like going to the concert.
Not even. We still have seats at the moment. And it's at the beautiful Grand Sierra Resort.
Grand Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard wonderful things about that place.
That is a lovely place.
I always mess up this tagline. And it's only because of Reno 911. But it's the biggest little city in America, or whatever they call it, right?
Biggest little city in... It's either in America or in
Nevada.
I
don't know, but
it's terrible. I should know this.
I always see it when those bungling cops are doing things on our TV shows. So that's I got to do more research I got to do more research on the actual Reno, Nevada, rather than just watching Comedy Central. So
it might be accurate. I don't know. I haven't seen that show in minute.
That's true. Yeah. Once they went to Miami, like every TV show, or movie does, Police Academy 5, Operation Miami Beach, everybody always ends up in Miami after a while, and then then it kind of fails off. So it's just that's what happens. So, anything else with Reno? I know I have a couple more guests coming on later on by the end of 2025, that are going to be on the podcast.
Good.
But that's going to be a good one, and it's groundbreaking too, because that's the first time we've ever been in Reno, correct?
Correct. Yep, that's our first trip there. Yep, we'll have some sponsors that are lending a hand. So mad props to them for sponsoring the event too. So there'll be some vendors on site and some that are sponsors, which will be pretty cool.
That was my next question. Are there going to be vendors on site? So is it going to be like a mini conference atmosphere? So during breaks and stuff like that, swag. Obviously I'm a big proponent of swag, so that students will get some free, socks,
goodies,
cable ties, whatever's the choice.
I love those socks.
Yeah.
I live for socks.
Ice is giving out some great socks now.
Yes.
And tremendous.
Yep.
And I'm a sock guy. And then, most of the time, I wear a size 13 or 14, and most times men's socks are 9 to 12, and you put on a sock and it wear it twice and it wears out. No. Iasis makes socks to last, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that. Iasis thought about the tall people. in this sock game, so that's good. It's good to be heard. It's good to be seen. So very happy about that. All right, Felicia, very good. We had that, and we talked about how we met. We met in 2012 in Hoover, Alabama, for NCFI. Yep. We talked about the phone call, or I guess you could say the text messages that get me on an IASIS in 2021, but. And I'm seeing here, and I do remember it, in 2022, and I got to apologize for this, but I'm sorry that I was the center of attention at your wedding.
I'm not.
literally, and I'm not being a narcissist or anything like that, but most of the photos you see of Felicia's wedding, I'm in the center of them.
Yeah.
So, lifelong Roman Catholic, and Felicia's like, hey, can you officiate my wedding? And I was like, well, sure. It's amazing what the internet God accepts the internet and God accepts $50 and boom, you're a man of God. So according to the state of Maryland, Nevada, which we just talked about, in New York, they make you pay an extra $25 to be a man of God in their states. But all the other 48 states, yeah, boom. Yeah, you can marry anybody. And that was a beautiful ceremony in Annapolis, Maryland. That was a great weekend.
Right on the water.
Oh, beautiful. And I think they had the Navy commencement that weekend, if not mistaken, correct?
Yes. So there was a bit of chaos in the town, but yeah.
There was, but it was good. Yeah. My wife, who adores me, was very happy with the...
the scenery.
The scenery, I guess. I don't... Yeah.
That's why I love your wife.
Yeah, my uniform doesn't do what a naval graduate uniform does. Whatever.
Not many uniforms do, honey.
But that was a great weekend. So that was in commencement weekend 2022. So I just thought I'd just bring that whole social thing full circle of how we know each other.
Good friends for years.
now we can say that. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13, that's right. We could call it 13, 14 years. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I know. Time flies.
It does. Especially in this job. But I think anybody could ever say that, you know. Except maybe coal miners. I don't know, because they live in darkness for so many hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, so many days a week. But I don't know. I got to get a coal miner on this podcast and see if that's actually true or not.
So, I might know a few.
that would be good. That'd be good.
Oh, there's coal mines in Pennsylvania, and I got friends from up north.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring them on. That would be a great story. Have a coal miner because I think I have a hardship that I have to wake up and go sit and be on Teams half the day. My God, they would throw bricks at me. It would be like a Zoolander.
I think they would throw lumps of coal at you, not bricks.
All right, fine. Yeah, that's more accurate. But it would be like Derek Zoolander when he had the black lung and his dad, John Voight and Vince Vaughn are his brothers and they're looking at him. Yeah, that's so maybe not. Maybe I don't need coal miners on there. It would just be emasculating for me, I think, at this point in time. So
yeah, I mean, if you really want to see, Centralia is still on fire. You just drive like an hour and 15 minutes north of Harrisburg and see a coal mine fire.
I'm fascinated by that town. I every so often it pops up on something and I got to research it. But yeah, that town has been on fire since what, 1970 maybe?
70 something, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. I grew up in Niagara Falls, New York, so we had Love Canal where the whole toxic waste thing happened. And that was abandoned for many years. And I guess the toxic waste wasn't toxic anymore. So now they opened it back up for human inhabitation. Or human habitation, whichever way you want to call it. But when I was in grade school, high school, that's where you learn to drive. When you're getting your driver's license, you went to Love Canal, because it was abandoned. And you could spend some time there, just don't breathe in the air too much. But that was a ghost town. So yeah, Centralia was really it still is because the roads are doing the thing where because it's on fire, so everything's splitting and stuff. I think that's
they had to reroute a highway.
It rerun like
a two-lane highway. That was a long time ago. They had to do that because it just kind of opened up a giant riff and
And Area 51 has their fans, so all the Area 51 people always go there. Mm-hmm. I know Centralia has their fans where they're always kicking people out. Love Canal really didn't have any fans because I think it was the people in town, including myself, or the city, I guess you could call it at the time. We'd just keep going there ourselves, you know, and like sledding, because the snow would cover the streets. So you could, get a sled on the back of the car when you got your driver's license and you could just safely sled on the back of a car and everything like that. I'm saying too much.
Bumper sledding.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying way too much right now.
So, saying a lot of things today.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about abandoned towns due to man-made or natural disaster, actually, I think Centralia was partially man-made too.
That was an accident.
Yeah, an accident. Yeah, yeah. But awesome. Felicia, do you got anything else for us today?
What can I say? I mean, To roll back to Budapest, I can tell you that if you haven't been yet, you should go and try some of the wine because, oh my goodness, Hungarian wine was amazing.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's not an aisle in Total Wine and More here in Columbia,
Unfortunately,
South Carolina.
no. I can't find it here either, and I'm pretty sad. So,
Interesting.
just have to go back to Budapest. Possibly
Hungarian.
next year, year after, we don't know.
Hungarian. Hey, I think you're half Irish.
I am.
I got back from Ireland a few weeks ago.
Oh.
Irish chicken wings are
Okay.
the untold secret of the Emerald Isle.
Coming from a man from Buffalo, that says a lot.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So, I was eating lamb stew, the seafood, all, the beef stew, the lamb stew, the shepherd's pie, all that, the Irish breakfast. But everybody at the pubs were ordering chicken wings. And I'm like, I'm not going to be the American who orders an American appetizer. But the smell of them, I was like, oh, this is incredible. And looking at them, I ended up eating them twice. They were by far the best chicken wings I ever had in my life.
Wow.
There was no ranch dressing in Ireland, which I like because being obviously a product of Buffalo, New York region. Ranch dressing doesn't exist. Maybe you want to dip celery in it. Oh my God, not celery, broccoli in it. But everything's blue cheese, and the chicken wings there are outstanding, outstanding. Trust me, if you travel to Ireland and you get a bad chicken wing, comment in the comments. But you won't get a bad chicken wing in Ireland. So Hungarian
Noted.
wine,
Yes.
nobody
And
heard of
the
it.
goulash. Oh, the
Well,
goulash.
you hear about that. Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And the coffee.
Oh yeah, I've had that coffee before, and you got to stay close to home when you drink that. I'll just put it that way.
Perhaps you do. I'm going through withdrawal because that was some of the best coffee I've had in since I lived in New Zealand, honestly.
Yeah, I guess my system might be a little too delicate, but that's the hard
Oh,
part.
you
So,
fragile flower, you.
I know. Well, that's why I'm drinking my ginger green tea right now.
Ah,
So, but
just an English breakfast today.
that's not bad either. That's I can handle that. I can handle espresso, one or two of them. But all that coffee out there, I've had it, and it's like, oh, it's so cute, and no, it's not cute. It comes in this little guy. No,
Yeah,
no,
and then it
no.
just punches you right in the
It
face.
oh, I wouldn't call it so much the face, but yeah, it punches. So, yeah,
I'm being a lady, a lady.
I know. Oh, you are the chairman of the board. You're eating prawns, and as I said, I'm down in the basement eating the already frozen shrimp. So, all right, Felicia Carey, everybody, chairman of the board, IASIS 2025. We got Reno coming up, and then we
Yes.
have our event in Orlando as usual,
Big
right?
flagship. That's right.
That's right, 2 week event. I will be there again this year. I am making my return. So,
Excellent. Triumphant.
not to sound like General MacArthur, but yeah, I had to take a 2 week a 2 year hiatus from it. But well, I didn't have to, but my day job got in the way. So,
Life.
yep. But yeah, making our return. I can't wait for that. Felicia Carey, buddy,
Yes.
chairman of the board. Felicia, great talking to you.
Likewise. It's good
All
to
right,
talk to you, Waz.
take care. All right, bye bye. See
See ya.
everybody on the next one.